The average human makes about 32,000 decisions every single day, so we better learn how to choose wisely. Join us as we examine the book of Proverbs to see how our choices in the areas of our work, words, relationships, and actions impact us now and in the future. And now, here's today's message.
Okay, let's get into the message. We're in this series from Proverbs, and the idea behind the series is we all make choices all the time, every day. You've made a whole lot of choices already this morning. The doors up here and the sign represent the fact that we make choices. Most of our choices are pretty insignificant. Okay, am I going to have Raisin Bran or Corn Chex for breakfast? Who cares? You know, have breakfast, right? Eat something so you don't faint when you come and you sit in the service, okay? That's a good idea. But who cares what, you know, I mean, it's really, somebody might care, but it's not that important in the scheme of things. Other choices and decisions we make, however, have huge impact on our futures, have huge impact on our lives. And the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom that God has given us to help us to make the best choices for our lives so that we can have the best outcomes, so that we can have the best futures. And so today, we're going to be talking about how we use our words. We all speak, and the number on this ranges all over the place, but a pretty good number might be 20,000 words, more or less. We all speak about 20,000 words in a day. I wonder how many words I speak in a message. I might get my 20,000. The staff teases me because they know that Deb and I are very introverted, so they have started teasing me about using up our 7 words when we get home, okay? I don't know where that came from. I can't remember, but you know, they kind of got the idea that Deb and I share about 7 words with each other, and when we've spoken those 7 words, we're done for the evening. Okay, and the truth is, we're both introverts, and so the number of words we use are probably less than the number that others use. But on average, we use all of us approximately 20,000 words a day, more or less, which is 7 million words a year, which is enough to write about 60 normal-sized books, to fill a bookcase with books. We speak a lot of words. The question is, are we using the best words? Are we using healing words? Are we using life-giving words? Or are we using inappropriate and hurting words? And that's what we're gonna look at. You know, it's easy to get tongue-tied in our words. Yogi Berra, John's very glad that I'm using a Yogi Berra reference because he was a catcher, great catcher for the New York Yankees. I also claim him because he was a great manager coach for the New York Mets, so I think we can share him. But Yogi Berra is known for his Yogi-isms, okay? Saying things that you just kind of shake your head over and you wonder, what the heck did that mean? So let me give you some examples. He was talking about a restaurant in his hometown of St. Louis, and he told this person, nobody goes there anymore, it's too crowded. Okay, you got to think about that. It'll come, just give it some time. He also said, half the lies they tell about me aren't true. Told his team once, okay, you guys, pair up in threes. I kind of got this picture of baseball players, pro baseball players running around trying to figure out, how do you do that? Pair up in threes. What do we do? You wouldn't have won if we'd beaten you, is something he said. He told a waitress in a pizza place when she asked him, do you want me to cut this in 4 slices or 8? He said, cut it in 4. I don't think I could eat 8. I don't know. I kind of use that, you know, like for chocolate cake and stuff. You know, it's like, if it's small, it doesn't count, right? I mean, they're just like, so you can eat more of it, right? Pitching always beats batting and vice versa. That seems like a wash. And then he said this, always go to other people's funerals, otherwise they might not come to yours. Yeah. Okay, so those are the Yogi-isms, all right? And we've all been tongue-tied. We've all said that we've all had words come out of our mouth, and we said, where did that come from? Or what, you know, what do I mean? I don't even know what I'm saying, right? And again, like our decisions, a lot of them are benign, they're insignificant. But on the other hand, sometimes the things that we say have huge impact, don't they? Wars are started over things that people say, okay? Marriages crumble over the things that people say to each other. In fact, there's one researcher who has said, I can predict within a very short period of time what marriages will succeed and fail simply by listening to conversations between the husband and the wife. And where there are conversations where people are sharing, where they're talking with each other in ways that are critical and contemptuous, I can tell you that within a number of years that marriage will end up in divorce. Just by listening to the conversations, that's all he needs to do to figure out if a marriage will succeed or fail. Jobs are lost because of things people say. I did a little internet thing on this, and I most I couldn't share, so I didn't write down any examples. But it's astounding the kinds of things that people will write on social media, not realizing that their employers now check social media. And when you're interviewing for a job, that savvy employers will look into what you have written on social media. And people, there was one incident where a woman was offered a job at a very high profile company, wrote something. I can't tell you exactly what the words were, but it was basically something like, oh great, I get to go slave myself away at this job tomorrow, and guess what? She had her job offer rescinded for that, okay? Our words matter. Our words have import. Our words have impact on our lives. Words are free, somebody said, but how you use them may cost you. It's good to think about. Here's the main point of the message today. God has given us immense power in the form of our words, and we can choose to use that power for good. Great little example of this. Many of you perhaps have seen it. I was surprised Deb had even seen this somewhere. Take a look at this video from the Little League World Series that happened just this summer.
His base, low one in the dirt, curveball. Full count.
Yeah, full count curveball.
He trusts it.
This is like the big leagues. That's what they do in the big leagues. There are no more fastball counts in the big leagues, and apparently not for Isaiah here either.
Here comes Dad for a conference.
Hey, I just came out to tell you how much I love you. As a dad and a player, okay? You're doing awesome out here. One more hitter, and then I'm going to Juge. This is your last hitter, okay? Understand? Come right after him. Hey, cheer up. Have some fun. Come right after. Okay? Let's go.
How good is that, Tim?
As good as it gets.
Goosebumps.
Not sure the pitching coaches in the big leagues are coming out and giving the same message.
Probably
not. Pretty sure the pitching coaches in the big leagues are not saying those kinds of words to their when they're pulling a pitcher. Isn't that awesome? I as I'm watching it this time, I thought, I should have counted how many times that dad affirmed his son. That dad could have, he could have come out. Now, his son's obviously pitching a great game. They're winning, I think it was 6-0, and so he's pitching a great game, but he's just walked a batter, and his dad has said, okay, it's time. I'm gonna take him out of the game. That's even if you're doing well, that's a tough moment for a kid on a big stage. You're going to get pulled after the next batter. But that dad comes out, and he doesn't start with, okay, son, you know what, looks like you're getting tired. We got to take you out. Okay, I didn't like that you walked the guy. He could have come out in a lot of ways. What's he come out saying? Hey, I just came out here to tell you I love you. I just came out here to tell you, you're doing a great job. You're an awesome kid. It makes me, I get teary just thinking about that. How many times did he affirm his son in the span of what? What was that, a minute? Okay. Great use of words. A great use of words. It illustrates this. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. The tongue of the wise brings healing. And that's what we are called to do, is use our tongues to bring healing to others. Four things our words do. There's four things our words do. They leave impressions. When people are forming an impression of you, they form it based on your words, largely. The things that you say, the things that you write, okay, leaves people with an impression of who you are. Words create realities. You know this to be true. Because there have been times in your life, I'm sure like in my life, where you have had a choice to make about how you're going to speak into a situation, and you have created a reality by the choice that you made, right? You might be upset about something. You might be upset with your spouse about something, and you're thinking on the way home, okay, we're going to talk about this, and here I can go at it this way, this way, this way. I'm going to go at it this way, and that created a reality. That created the scene. When you got into that conversation, it set the stage. In a sense, we are all screenwriters in our life. We are all screenwriters in the sense that we create certain realities by the choices we make with the words that we use. Words fuel emotions. Have you ever had your emotions jacked up because of something somebody said? Yes? Okay? Then words fuel emotions. And not only the emotions of others, but our words fuel our own emotions. The things that we say to ourselves are as important as the things that we say to other people. The things we rehearse in our minds and the things we dwell on are as important as the things that we might say out loud to someone else. And finally, words reveal hearts. Jesus said this. In Matthew 12, he says, "The mouth speaks what the heart is full of." The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Now, you know, there's a little caution here that I think I need to toss out, which is we also have a phrase, in vino veritas. I used to hear that a lot, you know. Well, when people drink, they tell you the truth about what they feel. Now, sort of, sometimes, okay? Because when people drink to the point where they're just kind of blabbering, okay, things, where their filters are gone, they're speaking through the influence of the alcohol. So you're not necessarily getting an accurate picture of what that person feels. You're getting that picture colored by the use of alcohol. And it's the same with our words and our heart. Our words may come out, and Jesus tells us they reveal our heart, and they do. But in certain cases, you know, if our words come out angry, what that reveals is that our heart is not in a good place. But it doesn't tell us what our heart is, what is going on in our heart. Okay, we might be hurt, we might be scared, we might be upset, we might be embarrassed, we might be ashamed. There might be a lot of things going on in our heart, but the words that we speak do reveal the condition of our heart, whether our heart is at peace or our heart is troubled or our heart is upset. Our words reveal our hearts. James 3:2, it says, "Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check." Well, boy, I would like to be perfect, okay? I would really like to be perfect, but I can't say that I'm never at fault in the things that I say. But what we can do is we can strive for this perfection, which is one of the ways to understand perfection biblically is to understand it as completion, completion in Christ, to be more like Christ. So we can strive to be more like Christ in the things that we say. In fact, Peter says that we really need to think as God thinks, and speak as God speaks. He says in 1 Peter chapter 4, if anyone speaks, they should do it as one speaking the very words of God. So the desire of our hearts needs to be more and more that the words that come out of my mouth reflect the words that God would say. I want to speak the very words of God. I want to think like God thinks. I want to say things that God would say. Well, Solomon, the author of Proverbs, most of the Proverbs, knew the power of words, and we're going to look very briefly at some of the things that he says in Proverbs are harmful ways to use words and helpful ways to use words. If you got a sermon card, there's a table on the front of that, and you can fill it in, and if you didn't get one, you can get one after the service and go online to the Bible app and find Northgate's information there, and all this is on the Bible app. But let's go through these. We're going to go through them pretty quick. Harmful words are, first of all, what did they tell me I need to say? What's that thing they say in a... Survey says. The survey says, okay, or proverb says. Thank you, Anthony. Harmful words are gossiping words. Healing words are unspoken words. I'll explain that in a second. Proverbs 11:13 says, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. So sometimes, here's the irony, sometimes the best use of our words is not to say anything at all, okay? How many of you have learned that lesson painfully, you know? So I just should have kept my mouth shut. I shouldn't have said that, okay? It would have been better if I said nothing, okay? There's other proverbs that say, if you really want to look wise in a group of people, don't say anything, okay? You know, because apparently if you start speaking, they'll learn the truth, right? But sometimes the most healing thing that we can do is to say nothing, okay? And that's true with gossip. We are not going to be a people that pass on gossip. We're not going to be a people that engage in gossip. We're going to be a people that put a stop to gossip, okay? Gossip, of course, is talking in demeaning ways about a third person to a second person, talking in demeaning ways about somebody who's not present. Okay, that's gossip. Passing on something that would be demeaning or degrading about them to another person when the person we're talking about is not present. That's gossip. And we're not going to be people that engage in gossip. We're just not. And here's the simplest way to put an end to gossip. When you detect that somebody is beginning to share gossip with you, put your hand up, not disrespectfully, but just put your hand up and say, wait a minute, stop. I don't think I want to hear what you're about to tell me. I don't think I want to hear that. If you're about to tell me something demeaning about this other person, I don't want to hear that. You need to talk to them. If you want, you and I can go to them right now. We can talk about it together. But I don't want to hear it unless they're here. And that's how we stop gossip. We refuse to be a part of it. You know, said this before, if somebody will gossip to you, they will gossip about you. So we need to put an end to it. Survey says harmful words are untruthful. Healing words are truthful. Seems pretty plain, doesn't it? If we're going to be healing with the use of our words, we need to be people who are honest, not people who are deceitful or dishonest. We need to be people who are honest and truthful in our words. Proverbs 12:22, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. If we want to be the people that God delights in, we need to be people who are honest with our words. The next one is this. Harmful words are prideful, healing words are humble. Proverbs 14:3 says, a fool's mouth lashes out with pride, but the lips of the wise protect them. And Proverbs 3:34 says, he mocks proud mockers, but shows favor to the humble and oppressed. This is a constant theme throughout the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, right through all of the books. God opposes the proud, but lifts up the humble. The more humble we are, the more we are in God's favor, and the more we can expect God to be with us and to lead us. But the more prideful we are, the more we are walking away from God's favor and blessing. If you've ever bragged about something, gotten real arrogant about something, been real brash about something, then fallen flat on your face, okay, afterwards, you know the pain of that, okay? And the Bible tells us that God lifts up those who are humble, but a fool's mouth lashes out with pride. Number four. Harmful words are harsh. Healing words are gentle. Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Years ago, I worked in an agency with adults who had limited social skills, and we were outside working and doing some landscaping around the building, and I was told it was time to bring the group in for lunch. Well, there was a gentleman, an adult man, who took exception to that, didn't want to go in for lunch, and so he took the shovel that he had in his hand, and he lifted it up like a baseball bat, kind of aimed at my head. And in that moment, I had a decision to make, like how I was going to speak to him about this. And I praise God, because I don't think I was wise enough to know. I just praise God that he gave me an ability to use really gentle words to calm this situation down. And eventually, the man did calm down, put his shovel down, and we went inside and had lunch. But that example always stuck in my mind, the truth of this statement. A gentle answer turns away wrath. A harsh word stirs up anger. How many times have we gone into situations where people are already upset and angry, and we've come at them with anger, and the anger has just escalated one to another until there is no reasonable discussion taking place, no reasonable conversation happening? Why? Because harsh words stir up anger. Number five. By the way, are you feeling convicted by any of this? I mean, I read this, and it's like, I got to go to confession, okay? Number five, perverse and soothing. Perverse and soothing. Harmful words are perverse. The proverb here is 15:4. The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. Perverse in this verse has the meaning of cutting. The Message Bible uses the word cutting here. So cutting words, words that are meant to cut someone down, are perverse. Okay, words that are meant to hurt. And instead, we're called to be people who use our words to bring healing again, to be soothing, to alleviate pain and not increase it. Number six, harmful words are angry, but healing words are patient. You see some overlap here with others, but Proverbs 15:18 says, a hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. And then the last one is this. Harmful words are rash, healing words are considered. Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. That phrase, gushes evil, again in the Message is translated as becomes a sewer of abuse, okay, which is a pretty stark image, okay, that our mouths, our words might come from a sewer of abuse, that we are actually polluting others with the things that we say or we can. But we need to be considered. Instead of speaking rashly, we need to be able to stop. As James says, we need to be slow to speak. We need to think about the words that we're about to use in these situations, especially where we are emotionally energized. And we need to make sure that our words come out in ways that will promote healing and not more harm. Here's a simple acronym, which some of you may be familiar with. I learned it years ago, and it's all over the place. It's been really helpful to me. I've actually consciously gone back to this and thought through these things to figure out what should I say or do I need to say anything at all. The acronym is THINK. Before we speak, we can choose to think. Is what we're about to say true, helpful, inspiring, necessary, and kind? And that's a pretty good summary of what Proverbs would say about our words and our speech. Are we speaking the truth? Are we speaking in ways that are helpful to this situation? Are we speaking to be inspiring, that will lead to good places? Is it necessary that we say anything at all? Or is this a time to just be quiet? And are we speaking out of a kind heart? It's a great little acronym for processing what I'm about to say and whether I need to say it. Well, there's a whole lot more we could talk about. There's over 100 proverbs that deal with our words and the tongue and speech and all of that kind of thing. So all I can do is recommend that you read the book of Proverbs. And if this is an area where you need some help, take the time to mark those verses or write them down and pray over them, meditate on them, and learn from God's word. Remember this, by our words, we can encourage life. We can encourage life. The memory verse, we're trying to give you a memory verse each week. The memory verse this week is Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And I couldn't find a better way to wrap this message up than to have you listen to and watch a video by Toby Mack that addresses this specifically. So take a look at this.
Some days life feels perfect. Other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Yo, it's crazy, amazing. We can turn our heart through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Broken, live or die. So speak life. It's twisted. Other days my thoughts just fall apart. I do, I don't, I will, I won't. It's like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine words from my lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life. You say, raise your thoughts a little higher. Use your words to inspire. Joy will fall like rain when you speak life with the things you say. Lift your head a little higher. Spread the love like fire. Hope will fall like rain when you speak life with the words you say. So speak. Darkest night, speak light, speak light, when the sun will shine. perfect.
Those are pretty powerful words by Brennan Manning. In every encounter in life, we either give life or we drain it, right? There's a story, an encounter that Jesus had with some people in John chapter 6, and some of the people he's talking to, they've had enough, okay? Jesus is essentially saying to them, listen, what you need is you need me, Jesus says. You need everything I have. You need me. You need to feed on me. You need to listen to me. You need to take me into your very soul. And some of the people, a lot of them said, you know, we're done with this guy. We're out of here. And Jesus looked at his followers, his closest followers, and he said, you guys going to leave too? You going to take off? And Peter says, Lord, where are we going to go? You have the words of life. You have the words of life. I believe that's to be true. I believe that to be true. You know, can I tell you something real quick? You are so glad you're not married to me. You are so glad you're not married to me, especially on a Sunday afternoon, Saturday night, Sunday afternoon. And I'll tell you why. Because, you know, I don't have a boatload of confidence in my words, you know. So a lot of times I go home from church, I'm drained, you know. I'm like, God, I gave you my best, and I hope it was good enough, and I hope it meant something to the folks that came out to worship you today. But, man, the reality is, I wish I could do better with my words. And Deb, unfortunately, she has to hear that from me. You know, she has to hear, oh, gosh, you know, that was awful. I mean, it was so, oh, man, you know, you don't want to know the things I say to myself. But she said something last night that was huge. It was huge. And it was just a reminder, but it was so good. She said, well, do you trust in God's words? It's like, slap me again, okay? You know? Because she's right. It's not my words. It's not even really your words. It's God's words, right? God's words have life. Jesus has the words of life. And if we want to carry words of life to other people, we need to be full of Jesus. We need to be full of Jesus. And we need to trust in his words. And we need to share his words. And we need to believe his words. And we need to preach his words to ourselves. And this is life-giving.
Thank you for joining us on the Northgate Podcast. We hope this message has been a blessing to you as you walk and grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. For other great resources, explore our website at northgatefmc.com and come back next week for another great message. Have a wonderful week.